Lightning makes transactions fast and cheap. In the same way that when you're out at the bar, having the ability to open a tab and close out your transactions makes transacting with a restaurant, bar or restaurant, a lot faster and cheaper. Lightning theoretically could potentially eat all digital payments, so anything that a credit card is doing today. So trillions of potential payment volume is up for grabs. In order to be an enterprise-ready solution on Lightning, you have to have automation in place. But again, going back to all those skills that are required to run the node, it becomes this huge headache just to maintain a healthy node. But our main goal really is to enable other Lightning node-enabled businesses. We're looking for people who are running LND nodes, who are wanting to improve their node operations, wanting more insight into their node metrics over time, and who value the self-custody aspect.
Introducing the Blockware Marketplace. Start mining Bitcoin today. This has the potential to transform the mining industry, as now anyone can buy a Bitcoin ASIC using on-chain or Lightning, see its historical and live hash rate before purchasing, and be earning Bitcoin mining rewards in minutes. This brings transparency and turnkey mining to a whole other level. Start mining Bitcoin today at marketplace.blockwaresolutions.com. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Blockware Intelligence Podcast. This week I have on John Marbach from Encrypted Energy. John, welcome.
Thank you, Joe. I'm glad to be here. Glad to chat Lightning and all things Bitcoin.
Absolutely. I think this is going to be a great, you know, Lightning-focused episode. Before we jump right into that, I want to know, like, who are you and what is your background?
Yeah, so I'm John, and I have worked for the last 6 or 7 years in the cloud computing industry. I've started a company 10 years ago through Y Combinator, focused on productivity tools. So I've had an entrepreneurial bug my whole life. I got into Bitcoin in 2012, actually, not really as my primary store of value, mostly just for the speculation. Over time, educated myself on what is money, software, dabbled into a little bit of Bitcoin mining, but mostly the whole pivot in my life was around the time of the pandemic, when I just saw sort of like how the money system was evolving, and I decided that Bitcoin needed to really be the focus of my professional endeavors. And so that's what led into creating Encrypted Energy with my co-founder, Paul DeGio. And over the last year, we've been working hard at bringing a Lightning-focused software tool to life.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I think that's... I had a similar background, I guess, like had more of a traditional experience, traditional career, and then knew, you know, Bitcoin is something special, so I need to be working full time in the space. So awesome. Very brief, I guess. I'm sure most of the audience is familiar with it, but, you know, like, what is the Bitcoin Lightning Network, or how would you explain it to a beginner?
Yeah, so the easiest analogy I typically go with is just the bar tab. I'm sure you've heard this a number of times, but when you're out at a bar with friends, you're not typically ordering one drink at a time and completing your transaction. You're typically opening a tab and saying to the bartender, hey, I intend to stick around here for a while, so I'm going to order a couple drinks and you add to my tab, and when I'm ready to leave, we'll close out. So why is this beneficial? Well, there's two primary benefits to Lightning, which are, one, faster payments, and two, cheaper payments. There's a third benefit of privacy, which can be argued in a variety of ways, but the overwhelming benefit is just faster and cheaper. If you and I were to interact or transact with Bitcoin today, we're limited by the 10-minute block time and the amount of block space available. So those limitations on Bitcoin's main chain make it expensive and slow. And so Lightning makes transactions fast and cheap. In the same way that when you're out at the bar, having the ability to open a tab and close out your transactions at the end of your time makes transacting with a restaurant, bar or restaurant, a lot faster and cheaper.
Yeah, I think that was a really well said analogy. I think the bar tab makes a lot of sense. And another thing that I think is critical that the audience understands is, you know, Bitcoin is, you know, there's a block space limit and it's quote unquote slow in the number of transactions the base chain can process per second. That there's a reason that it's like that. It's so people can download a full node, they can verify and set their own rules within network consensus, and then it makes it very difficult to change Bitcoin. So like the Lightning Network is kind of like the best of both worlds, where you have this protocol called Bitcoin where no one can really change it. It's very immutable. The core consensus rules are very difficult to change, like the 21 million supply cap. And then you have this new second layer protocol called Lightning, and it enables people to actually like do the fast transactions, do the cheap transactions. So you kind of get the best of the both worlds without, you know, giving up the immutability and then the ability to change Bitcoin to whatever you want. Because you see like Solana or other random altcoins say, oh, we can do thousands of transactions per second. But, you know, it doesn't really solve the main problem that Bitcoin solves, I guess. I don't know if you had any extra thoughts on that, but that was just a random tangent.
Yeah, and importantly, there's no extra coin to keep track of. There's no other blockchain. It's just Bitcoin's time chain. And the way Lightning measures itself is in the unit Satoshis, and that all is completely integrated in lockstep with Bitcoin. It's just a multi-signature transaction, and I think that's important because it's, like you said, it stays true to the immutability of Bitcoin, and it doesn't allow for all these potentially self-serving interests to get in the way of enabling faster and cheaper payments.
For sure. Yeah, and a cool thing I feel like about Lightning Network is so far, I guess, there's not really like a monetary incentive. Like, I think people buy altcoins because they just want to see number go up, but like there is some sort of number go up that I'm sure we're going to get to like in Lightning, where you can, you know, make money running a Lightning node, at least for sure, most likely in the future, and some people are even doing it today. But the growth of the Lightning Network so far is pretty like cool and steady, and it's not just like massive number go up really fast. Like, it's more natural growth. And I know you guys have done some cool research on Lightning. What do you guys think is, or you've done some analysis, what do you think is the total addressable market for the Bitcoin Lightning Network? Like, how big could it get?
Yeah, I think the answer is very big. Of course, the specifics in there are hard to predict exactly, but we can look at like digital payments generally through credit card, publicly available credit card data. There's north of $3 trillion worth of payments volume through credit cards today globally. And also looking specifically at like segments within the credit card industry, such as virtual credit cards, where exactly are those being used? But basically, the thinking is that Lightning could theoretically could potentially eat all digital payments, so anything that a credit card is doing today. So trillions of potential payment volume is up for grabs. And when you look at the individual companies that are in the credit card industry, Visa, MasterCard, Amex, they're some of the most profitable companies in the world. They're generating massive amounts of fees, and they're providing also just a very much needed service. You know, when I take my Visa credit card to New York City, it works at the bar. Likewise, when I fly to Rome, it works seamlessly, and I just don't have to think about it. So there's a massive need for digital payments, but it's also not perfect, and that's why, you know, we're going after Lightning, not necessarily the traditional payment rails.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Do you have any like insight as to where we might be on like the S curve for Bitcoin and the Lightning Network specifically? Is it still, you know, very early?
Yeah, I think that's a tough one. I think as far as Bitcoin, I mean, we could definitely see the on-chain stats, and we see that there's something like over 10 million wallets today that have more than 0.01 Bitcoin. So they have, you know, a couple hundred $1,000 worth of Bitcoin. And there's way fewer people in Lightning today. I think the biggest criticism of Lightning is that it's still a small market. But what makes up for that? The growth. You have a Bitcoin bear market last year. Meanwhile, the capacity of Lightning is growing every month. And so Lightning is for sure in the innovators stage, the earliest innings possible, where in order to interact and use Lightning today, you have to kind of be willing to deal with the inconveniences to get the benefit. But that's the opportunity for entrepreneurs right now. How can we take the benefits of Lightning, make it more convenient, and charge a reasonable service fee for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Why do you think an individual or a company or anyone really should run a Bitcoin Lightning node?
I think we're going to start to see CFOs of companies who process tons of the payments volume, credit card payments volume, we just talked about earlier. One of my experiences was at DigitalOcean, which is now a company doing hundreds of millions in payments volume through Stripe. And like we know just from the publicly available Stripe pricing data, they're taking at least 1-3%, you know, especially when it's an international transaction, of every payment. I mean, on the outset, that may not seem like a lot to someone who hasn't dug into the details, but it becomes a material amount of revenue when you're talking about processing hundreds of millions of dollars. If you're a $100 million business and you give away $3 million a year just to collect payment, like at that point you can start to hire a whole team of people just to you know, as far as a budgetary comparison. So there's just going to be enough smart people out there. I'm not exactly sure what the industry is, and that's why I mentioned virtual credit cards, where people start to say, hey, like this is eating up too much revenue. What are the alternatives? Is there anything cheaper that provides the same benefit? And in the media industry, that's where virtual credit cards are used most today, software. That's why in the Lightning market today, you see a lot of uptick in interest in gaming use cases, especially because of the microtransaction ability of Lightning. So yeah, I think if you're a company who is processing tons of credit card volume, meaning north of $100 million, let's say, you are now incurring a material expense in credit card fees. And so it makes sense for you from an economic perspective to at least consider, what's another way I can capture value for less money and less risk?
Yeah, it seems like a no-brainer. Honestly, just kind of a matter of time at this point. You know, I feel like a lot of big companies are slow to adopt something this different for accepting payments, but I think it just seems like it's going to eventually happen. Do you have any thoughts after that?
Yeah, and there's one more thought. So the other angle that you see a lot of problems with credit cards is just chargebacks and fraud. Again, sort of going to my experience at DigitalOcean, just you see a lot of customers abusing the credit card, either through buying a stolen credit card and using it to purchase something else, or not paying, straight up just not paying their bill. And so Lightning, an important aspect of it, which is similar to Bitcoin, is that you get that finality of a settlement. You're not able to receive a chargeback in 60 days. And so if you're a company, again, in media or another industry that is dealing with lots of fraud and chargebacks, you're asking yourself, hey, is there anything out there which absolves us of this chargeback risk? Because at some point, it just becomes excessive.
Definitely, yeah. Lightning solves a lot of problems. Early days, but I definitely agree it solves a lot of problems. I feel like a lot of people in the Bitcoin community already are like familiar with Lightning, but maybe they're using like a custodial Lightning solution, like it's like Wallets of Satoshi or something like that. Can you maybe like break down the difference between like running your own Lightning node and using some sort of custodial Lightning solution that most likely, if you, as someone listening to this podcast, if you have no idea, like if you're running your own Lightning node, you're probably using some sort of custodian, if I had to guess.
Yeah, so I think yeah, if you're hearing about Lightning recently, you've probably heard about things like Wallet of Satoshi or ZBD Wallet or GetAlbi, and those services that are they are custodying your sats, your Bitcoin. They are making it easier for you to participate in the network. Why would that need exist? Well, if you wanted to custody your coins yourself and interact with Lightning, you have to run your own node, which unfortunately today is a very technically complex and time-intensive process. You have to have a stable internet connection with a stable power source, keep your software up to date, understand system admin skills, understand computer networking skills, understand software development skills, and take all that together, combined with your understanding of Bitcoin, and when you kind of look at the world, there's not that many people who can bring all those things together. A lot of people, they just want faster and cheaper payments. They don't care about all those technical details. And so they end up downloading an app like Wallet of Satoshi so that maybe they are interested in the future of social networking and they're on Nostr. And they're like, hey, like, well, I heard from someone I can just send them sats really quickly. And so that person tells them, yeah, download Wallet of Satoshi. You can send me sats really quickly. And they never quite interact with a Lightning node themselves, which is not to say that's a bad thing. It's just, there's just certain risk involved, which is that you're letting Wallet of Satoshi at the end of the day control your coins effectively. And so I don't ever see custodial apps going away or non-custodial apps where the like Wallet of Satoshi owns your coins, much in the same way that a consumer bank like Bank of America, there's always going to be a need for it. There are the crazy people like my grandma who stores all of her cash under her mattress. She self-custodies her cash, but there always will be sort of that consumer need. And I think as long as we educate the market and consumers about the risks, I think it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, definitely, it's fair. Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, generally speaking, like the Bitcoin ethos, not your keys, not your coins. And so, like, if you're messing around with like a small amount of Bitcoin, sure, feel free to use a custodial solution. Like I use Wallet of Satoshi as well, but I also have my own personal Lightning node, and I regularly operate the Blockware Lightning node as well. So if someone's listening to this and they're like, you know what, I want to start getting more involved with the Lightning network, I've downloaded Wallet of Satoshi, like it's cool, but I want to actually run my own Lightning node. How do you recommend someone does this?
Yeah, so that's the beauty of Bitcoin, which is that it offers that option of self-custody. If you want to, and you want to educate yourself and go through the trials and tribulations, it's available. And the way that a lot of people are doing it today, the most popular method is through Umbral. So it's a Raspberry Pi connected piece of software that runs on your Raspberry Pi, can plug into a normal outlet in a residential home. And you fire it up, meaning you fire up Umbral, and they have an app for the Lightning network that manages the Lightning node LND software for your Umbral server. That's the fastest method today. Buy a Raspberry Pi, install an Umbral server, and you'll effectively have a Lightning node ready to go. There's more options out there if, depending on what level of flexibility you're looking for. So if you're looking to build your business off of Lightning, well, in that case, you probably want to go with something that's more enterprise ready. So maybe your own virtual private server from a cloud provider like AWS, Google Cloud, Azure. Or if you want a little bit more hand-holding, what's been popular as of late is to go with a Voltage node. And Voltage has made it a click-to-create experience as far as a VPS, virtual private server of a Lightning node, where they handle all the installation and config setup. for a standard vanilla Bitcoin Lightning node. That's what I've personally enjoyed experimenting most with as of late, voltage nodes.
Foundation is one of my favorite Bitcoin companies. Their product, Passport, is one of the best Bitcoin hardware wallets on the market. It is air-gapped and highly secure. I strongly encourage you to go to foundationdevices.com and use the code BLOCKWARE and get $10 off your Passport. It's a great way to easily and securely store the private keys to your Bitcoin. If you've thrown your hands up trying to run a Lightning node, relax, you're not an idiot. It's not intuitive, and manual management means you won't survive. The guys at Encrypted Energy are fans of the pod and have 20 openings in their private beta for readers to trial automated L&D operations like rebalancing and channel fee management. Email paul@encryptedenergy.com and mention BlockWare Intelligence for personalized onboarding. Yeah, for sure. I mean, just add on, those are my two favorite like kind of ways to get easily going with running a Lightning node. Like, I personally use Umbral. It's really easy. It's like, once you get it up, it's kind of like a Mac-like interface where you can see all of your apps and you just click like Bitcoin node or Lightning node and you interact with it like a normal, like through a normal UI through your web browser. Really cool. And then Umbral or Voltage is how BlockWare hosts our Lightning node. And using that's also been a super easy experience. And I think that that's good for, like you said, enterprise, you know, solutions, like people that are like really trying to do a lot of payments. But it's also, I mean, like if you're just an individual and you're looking to experiment, you can still use Voltage, and you don't have to actually have any physical hardware on you. So yeah, definitely recommend either of those. From your perspective also, like what is involved with running a Lightning node? So say someone goes out and they, you know, either get Umbral or they put it on their hardware device or they go sign up to Voltage. What's the process now that I'm running a node? Like, what do I do?
Yeah, the name of the game with Lightning is open channels. So similar to that bar tab analogy we talked about earlier, you want to open up as many tabs as possible to other well-connected nodes, or depending on your use case. For most Lightning nodes today, they're wanting to be a routing node, so they're wanting to facilitate payments from their node to other nodes in the network and earn a fee. But a lot of the payments volume, meaning nodes that are just sending and receiving payments, are building their business on Lightning in their own unique way. So whether, again, it's like one of those gaming companies that's enabling microtransactions, maybe it's a company that's helping provide cash back for online purchases, what have you. The primary mechanics, the repetitive action that's happening on Lightning nodes, are opening new channels to other Lightning nodes. So that would be considered up here. And then likewise, adjusting the fees. So we just mentioned how a lot of nodes are setting up so that they can earn fees for routing payments. You want to adjust your fees so that you're responding to the conditions of the network and as real time as possible. And so that's a repetitive action that's happening again and again. So opening channels, closing channels, and adjusting those channel fees once the channel is open.
Awesome, yeah. And I think what you're building with Paul, you're building Encrypted Energy, and I think this is gonna help people that have Lightning nodes, you know, operate it successfully. So can you tell us a little bit about what you guys are working on?
Yeah, of course. So we saw this need for keeping your node automatically up to date, and we said, all right, what's the best way to go about that? Well, we decided to build a service for collecting, processing, storing, and routing the actual data that's on your node so that you can enable your automation scripts for opening and closing channels, and likewise for adjusting channel fees. We regularly pull your node and your peers. We monitor for state changes, so meaning the balance change on a channel or the software version of your node. And then we emit events automatically. So that would be something like a JSON object that contains information relevant to whatever just changed on your node. We send those events to your automation scripts again that are continuously operating on your node to bring it back to a healthy state. And so, yeah, the sort of the crux of the problem again is like we see that in order to be sort of like an enterprise ready solution on Lightning, you have to have automation in place. But again, going back to all those skills that are required to run the node, it becomes this huge headache just to maintain a healthy node. And so we're saying to ourselves, all right, how can we at least make it a little bit easier for people to get the right data at the right time so that their node is healthy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, messing around with channels on my Lightning node has been, I'm mainly just experimenting for fun, like at this point, but it's been like challenging and you know, learning about it is difficult, but it's been very cool to experiment. I know you guys are launching a private beta. Can you tell us more about that and how someone might get involved?
Yeah, so we are of course using our service on our own set of nodes to keep our own nodes healthy and profitable. But our main goal really is to enable other Lightning node enabled businesses. And so we're looking for people who are running LND nodes who are wanting to improve their node operations, wanting more insight into their node metrics over time, and who value the self-custody aspect of maintaining the control to your coin. So we don't want access to your wallet. We think that's an unnecessary risk and it introduces too much centralization. So we're looking for anyone out there who is developing a Lightning node in that way. And we are offering our white glove like handheld service to get you up to speed in the way that our nodes are automatically running today. We see this as like a mutually beneficial opportunity for you as a potential node runner, because your node could be potentially a lot healthier 24/7. And then of course the network, like if more nodes are in a healthier state more consistently, more payments route more quickly and for less money. So the beta is open as of now, and yeah, we're looking forward to working with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, I think the email is paul@encryptedenergy.com if you're interested in actually like getting involved with Encrypted Energy. I think it's going to be, you know, a sick beta, and I've experimented a little bit. I think this is awesome. So if you're either running a node or you're trying to experiment running a node, I think that this is a good good person to reach out to. Do you have any thoughts? I'm curious. Do you have any thoughts on the idea that, you know, we see people are running routing nodes where they're, you know, earning some sort of like yield off their Bitcoin through this by opening channels in the right time, and maybe like when on-chain fees rise, as they have been, you know, somewhat over the last month, people are able to like, you know, earn a small amount of yield from just opening channels in the right way. Do you think that that's going to be more and more occurring in the future, where people actually can, you know, make money off their routing node, or is that, you know, too far out there?
Yeah, we think it's definitely coming in the next 1 to 2 years. And the analogy that is coming to mind is actually with Bitcoin mining. The flare gas sort of initiatives in oil fields is like the clearest example, where there's just a way bigger amount of energy out there that's being wasted and could potentially get some utilization or value capture out there than anyone previously imagined. And that's leading to things like Bitcoin mining's hash rate just absolutely exploding. And for people who don't have an oil well with a flare coming at the other end, they're struggling right now. It's going to be basically impossible to plug into the retail grid in any country around the world and earn a profit with Bitcoin mining. And in the same way, we see that evolving in a similar way with Lightning, where there's just way more Bitcoin out there that is wanting to get any yield at all. And with the right convenience and automation in place, like it will kind of accrete onto the network. And so we don't see it as being like this massively profitable thing in the same way that Bitcoin mining is only temporarily profitable when Bitcoin spikes. So Lightning will potentially be very profitable for temporary times when the block space is really expensive. But there will be just like this ongoing opportunity to earn, like you said, a little bit, which is better than nothing for a lot of people, of income off of the Bitcoin that you kind of have saved as your store of value. And so that's the opportunity we want to help enable, you know, people who want to earn at least something, but then even more so, people who are building their businesses off of the value of faster and cheaper payments.
Yeah, definitely. It's truly fascinating. Have you, I guess, are you familiar with like Nick Bhatia's idea of the Lightning Reserve or Lightning Reference Rate, where he thinks like that whatever that small percentage is, that will be known as like, the, I guess, like the discount rate for all future Bitcoin based like financial transactions. Do you have any thoughts on that? Is that realistic?
It's always hard to, you know, predict the future, but I would say like when it comes to store value, like what people typically value is just like not losing their money. And so that's why things like bonds in US treasuries are extremely popular. Like you can at least guarantee like the risk of losing this money is like low risk. And that's likewise with Bitcoin. You know, if you save your Bitcoin and you're not trading it or spending it, your risk of losing it is low. And so if you can earn just anything at all, you're sort of grateful for that. And I think the idea is spot on as far as like how competitive it will be with things like US treasuries. Who knows? I mean, I think the true value though of Bitcoin is that it can't be debased. So you're betting basically, all right, at least I'm not losing my purchasing power here, and then I'm generating a little bit of extra income. All right, that's sort of icing on the cake, and I'll do with that whatever I want. But I'm not expecting it necessarily to be the same as a dividend stock in Exxon or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of think of, and curious to hear what you think about this, I kind of think of the dollar and like treasury bonds or T-bills as like a short-term unit of account and like a way to earn yield on your short-term unit of account, because you have, you know, future short-term obligations, whether it's like paying your mortgage, paying rent, or paying employees. And then you have like Bitcoin, which is more of like your long-term future obligations. And maybe this yield on your Bitcoin could be like something that you use to think like, okay, if I could be earning, you know, 1% or something per year, you know, every year in Bitcoin terms, like the Bitcoin's volatility will in the short term won't really matter, because I know 5 to 10 years from now, most likely Bitcoin's purchasing power will be increasing. Do you have ideas on like how to break out, you know, dollar denominated and Bitcoin denominated stuff?
Yeah, I think it's similar to what you said, just like sort of depends on the time preference. I agree fully. Like if you're saving for 1 year out plus, you're not intending to use those funds, you're just hoping for something that has extremely low risk and will generate whatever yield is available. For cash that you're needing in on a closer time frame, you're willing to take slightly more risk, for example, in a treasury, and for that risk you potentially can earn a higher reward. So I think something like that will evolve as more people adopt the Bitcoin standard. I think there, regardless of whether we're talking Lightning, Bitcoin, trading, mining, whatever it is, I think there is an education component just throughout all of this to help people understand, going back to that question of like, what is money? How should I save? And that sort of thing. And so I think just being, you know, seeing your podcast and newsletter, it's a great step forward, and we all have work to spread sort of the message.
Absolutely. I think education is super key. Last question, then we can probably wrap it up. How do you envision, you know, Bitcoin and the Lightning Network looking in 20 years?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think the answer I would give is the on-chain fees are going to be a lot higher, and miners are going to earn a lot higher percentage of their revenue from on-chain fees because of demand for opening and closing Lightning channels, because of demand for sending high-value Bitcoin payments. So Lightning really only makes sense below a certain transaction value, let's say below $1,000 US dollars today. And so in the future, I see a lot more microtransactions. So I see a lot more behaviorally situations where people are spending under a dollar digitally, and the fee for that is less than a credit card today, which would be like 30 cents. In the future, be less than a penny. So microtransactions are just like sort of the most obvious area where Lightning will power the future of the economy. But then sort of like eventually replacing any credit card transaction today. So globally, most credit card transactions are on average about $60, 60 US dollars. And I see Lightning sort of overtaking anything up to that average of 60 US dollars. And the method for people interacting is the same way that you see effortless transactions today with Apple Pay as one example. Where you're just literally tapping your phone near a reader and you don't even think about it. The transaction just flows through. And behind the scenes, the people operating that payments network have identified Lightning as a more profitable way to run their business. And so that's what I see ideally, where ideally the best state for any technology is where you're just not thinking about it. It's just improving your life.
For sure. One more question that came to my mind as you were talking. I guess, how do you think of like block space buyers of last resort, right? Like we've had people talking recently that ordinals are kind of like block space buyers of last resort, where like they're putting a lot of data on chain. They're not going to spend, you know, $50 to do this, like, or like for like a normal amount of transaction data. They're going to pay like one sat per virtual byte, like to just, you know, whenever the mempool clears, it's going to get added to the chain. I think that that's been the case, you know, over the last few months, but I question like how, you know, popular ordinals are going to be in like 5 to 10 years. I could see a scenario where like another source of that like block space demand for last resort is like Lightning node operators, like you were talking about, where like a node operator could see, okay, if I open a channel of, you know, XBTC and to this node over here, mm-hmm. If I open it at a fee rate below, you know, 3 sats per byte, then this channel is going to be profitable. If I have to do it above that, it doesn't make sense. And I could see potentially a scenario where if like the Lightning network is really popular, you know, nodes can be always be kind of like monitoring like the mempool and seeing like, okay, if there is, you know, if fees drop below a certain rate or miners are accepting, you know, 2 sat per byte, per virtual byte transactions, node operators might come in and all of a sudden a wave of new transactions come in, and it's basically just node operators automatically potentially opening channels to other nodes. What do you think about, you know, that idea?
Yeah, for sure. That's where the automation just comes in. Like, it shouldn't be up to you as a human analyst. It'll always be impossible to be able to process a continuous stream of data, but any machine can. So the optimal time to open a Lightning node, a Lightning channel, is not necessarily when you're operating on your node personally, but it may be at 3 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of the night, you know, your time zone, when the mempool is a lot less busy. And so that'll become sort of standard operating procedure. In the same way that when you send a transaction on Cash App today, you can signal your time preference and the fee associated. So that's definitely coming. As far as the ordinals and sort of like the NFT thing on Bitcoin, I mean, definitely not wanting to censor it. Let's see sort of where we're in like a fad where it kind of evolves. I don't see it being like a super popular thing long term for Bitcoin, but you know, who knows, crazier ideas have gotten more traction. I think when I think of Bitcoin, I just think of store of value. Can we deliver on that 80 to 90%, like store value, make sure your money is not being debased and your time is not being stolen. And then the other 10 to 20% of value, can we actually transact peer-to-peer for cheaper and faster? And that's where Lightning comes in. And I'm very hopeful that as people develop more tools to make Lightning more convenient, the adoption will come naturally.
Absolutely. I think this is a great spot to end it. John, where can people learn more about you and Encrypted Energy?
Yeah, encryptedenergy.com is our place for all the latest updates. There's a button to connect your node. You just need a read-only macaroon. And then on Twitter, at jmarbach, you'll find me on there and hopefully learn one or two things related to Bitcoin and Lightning.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on. Yeah, everyone, go check out, you know, encryptedenergy.com. I think it's pretty sweet, and I think more people should be running Lightning nodes. And if you're an enterprise running it, definitely, you know, reach out to these guys. I'm sure with Blockware, we'll certainly get involved soon. But thanks for coming on, John. Really enjoyed this conversation.
Likewise. Thanks, Joe. Take care.